A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. It was evening on the day Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps this reading sounds very familiar to you. It was the Gospel reading for the second Sunday during Easter. As you recall, in this passage, the disciples have witnessed or have heard that Jesus has been executed. Their friend, their Messiah, their hope for a new way of being in this world, the kingdom of God that was to be brought into reality, ended with Jesus' death. And what they are gripped with right now is fear. Fear is that which actually paralyzes, cripples, and sucks the life out of our very being. It is insatiable because the more it wants of us is our very life, our very potential, all that is actually good within us. Fear feeds on it, so that all that we're left with is emptiness and despair, guilt, shame. Our world goes from a place of being so open to now being closed down, and it continues to get smaller and smaller. It is like the walls all around us close in on us. And all we hope for is that we will end it somehow, that it will end. And Jesus offers a way to us how to end it. They believed, the disciples, the apostles, that if they stepped outside those doors in any number, the Jewish authorities, along with the Romans, would find them, capture them, and quite possibly execute them. So they are terrified for their own life. But there's also something else that is working within each one of them. It's not just the fear of what they have done, or what could be done to them, but it's the guilt and it's the shame of what they fail to say and what they fail to do. They said they would be there with you, Lord. I will give my life for you, Lord. I will go wherever you go, Lord. And when it came to really test that belief, they ran. They hid. They didn't actually stand at the foot of the cross and see Jesus die. They heard about it, but they didn't actually witness it. So as much as they were afraid of what the Jewish authorities and the Romans could do to them, their guilt and their shame was greater. That, I think, was perhaps even more so what was keeping them inside the room. But what we see in this passage, on this, the feast of Pentecost, the solemnity of Pentecost, is that God can break through a locked door and stand in our midst. But he stands there before us and asks us, "May I enter your heart?" The door was no problem. I can get in wherever I want. But I need you to allow me in to your heart and into your mind, into your life. So when Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you," he is addressing their fear of what could happen to them. But more importantly, he is dealing with their shame that they are feeling within themselves. And so he says to them, "Peace be with you. I want you to let go of your guilt and your shame. Let go of your fear. Remember what I said to you. Remember what I have shown you. Remember what I have taught you, how to live and move and be in this world. Do not give in to fear, but also do not give in to your guilt or your shame. I'm standing before you, not accusing you of anything. I am offering you God's peace of wholeness and oneness of mind, body, heart, and soul. Are you prepared to look inside your own hearts, your own minds, and address it?" When he shows them the wounds, he didn't show them the wounds to hurt them, to shame them, or to further guilt them. What he was saying is, "You see, they did their best. They tried to silence me. They tried to end the kingdom of God. It cannot be ended by anyone enforcing their will on another person. It can only, however, be ended if you choose not to let the kingdom of God come forth." So Jesus showing these wounds to them is saying, death cannot keep me down. Ignorance cannot keep me down. Violence will never shut me up. I am alive, fully alive, and I am here as your friend, not as your judge. I am here as your friend. Then it says they rejoiced when they saw him. What they saw was the individual who had always loved them, had always cared for them, was patient and kind with them always. And what rushed through their minds and their hearts was, this is the Jesus we know, this is the Jesus we knew, and we are familiar with him. He is all about giving us life and challenging all our fears. So then he says to them again, "Peace be with you." And in this, he is saying, "Let me in. Let me help heal your fear, your guilt, your shame, your doubts, your worries. Help me to help you by us working together." Jesus will not do it against our will. He needs our consent. And why? So that we can stand up and feel fully alive and know that no one and no thing can ever limit us but ourselves. Jesus is teaching us this. He is showing us this. So when he says, "Peace be with you," for a brief moment perhaps, they realize there is a second chance here. We can make amends for what we failed to do and what we failed to say in that moment. They recognize we cannot go back and change what we did or didn't do. What we can do now is move forward. At that moment, Jesus breathes on them the life-giving spirit that was placed within him. He shares it with them abundantly. And at that moment, I would imagine they are feeling the fear slowly fade away. Not entirely, but it's beginning to fade away. The last line of this passage, this gospel passage, is essential for them and is essential for us. When he said to them, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus is speaking to them personally, as he is speaking to us personally also. If I forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. I am one of those any. He's not talking about other people outside of us necessarily, or only the people outside of us. He is talking about us first and foremost. If I forgive the sins I have done, if I can forgive myself, then I am freed to be alive. Fear, guilt, shame, worry, anxiety, none of these things have control over me any longer. But I have to forgive myself. But forgiving the sin within me that has split me apart, fragmented who I am, no longer a whole person, if I acknowledge what is taking place within me, I begin to knit myself back together, slowly and surely. But he says, if you retain the sins of any, if I retain the brokenness, the sin, the guilt, the shame, the fear within myself, then I choose to keep it. No one is imposing it. No one is forcing it upon me. I am doing it myself. What the gift of the Holy Spirit does to us is stirs up inside of us a desire to no longer hold on to that sin of guilt, shame, anger, resentment, vengeance, whatever it might be. Because I recognize this is not feeding my soul. This is not helping me to be fully alive, to be aware of the potential that is within me. I am limited. Look at me. I'm in a locked room. But the room isn't just four walls. It's within my brain, within my mind, within my heart. I have imprisoned myself. So if I'm imprisoned within myself, how can I possibly see the good that is all around me? How can I possibly see my way to forgive others and to bring about God's kingdom of peace and unity and justice and mercy for everyone? But all of that begins first and foremost with the self. When God's Spirit is breathed upon us, and that is all the time, every moment of our life, when this Spirit is breathed upon us, it is trying to gently challenge us to see what is true and what is false within us. Whatever is false, we recognize it does not serve me, does not serve my God, and certainly will not serve others in bringing the kingdom of God about. But what the Spirit of God also does, it helps me to acknowledge the truth that God has placed within me, how to bring about God's kingdom. So my friends, on this, the feast, the solemnity of Pentecost, let us allow God's Spirit that is being breathed upon us over and over and over again on a daily basis Let it do its work within us. Let us allow ourselves to be united with this Spirit so that we may be freed, that we may be alive, that we may allow ourselves to be truly whole and one in our loving God, who tells us, do not be afraid of your wounds. Do not be imprisoned by your past, but enjoy the liberation of God's Spirit to live now and in the future, sons and daughters of our living God.